I've been concerned for some time, burdened on me about our being faithful, our ability to be preserved. I don't want to drop the things of God in my generation. The world's pressing hard. I personally have seen a lot of changes. Changes are not all bad. But a lot of them have to do with faith. A lot of them have to do with desire. And a lot of them have to do with what we heard last night about our real emphasis and the amount of energies and efforts that we put out for the things of God. And I've seen mind changes and those kind of things, and I'm not at all suggesting a defeatism today. God's real, and I've seen many successes. But I do have a burden on my heart that we be able to preserve and be found faithful. And as I meditated on these things, and in my mind, I feel the inspiration that the Lord has given me is that if you want to be preserved, then live the Word of God. Amen. That we have a gift, folks, a gift that is quick and powerful. And it's got the ability to preserve us as a people and as individuals. It's got the ability to keep us. It is a precious gift of the Word of God. Now, can you imagine this morning what the world would be like? What would things be like if the Lord had not seen fit to bring down to us in our time the Word of God? Just imagine today, I don't even know that I could know what culture would be like without it. But can you imagine today not being able to draw for your own life the precious Word of God? I don't even know how many times a day. I'm not talking about necessarily going to the Scriptures. I'm talking about the things I've hidden. Could you imagine not being able to draw the words, "For God so loved the world"? You know how many times that I've wondered what Lord really thinks of me? I mean, but I can draw on, well, things don't always go well for me. I have some questions sometimes, but yet there's these very powerful words that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I draw from that. Do you know how many times that I felt less than I should have? And I, Lord, how do I approach God? And you know, there's a scripture in Hebrews that says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." You know, those are powerful words to me. I'm glad that I can draw from that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times have I been in a place that my needs are before me, and yet there's a word of God: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Over and over again, I think of being in his pavilion. I think of being in his high tower. I think about the things that the Word of God has been in me. How many times somebody suggests, just I hear a word, the word care. I heard it the other day, and I said, yes, casting your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. It was there. The Word of God meant something. It means something. And when I need something, there's something to draw on. Could you imagine if you didn't have that? Not trying to live this life. No, I couldn't imagine that. I can't get strength, because to me, it's strength. It's power. You ever feel hopeless? Do you ever feel like you don't understand? Here's a scripture that says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith. I draw on the things of faith. I need the word. And I want to challenge us today on something. Because I think if we're not very careful, we don't take advantage. We really don't utilize the word of God to its powerful effect to our lives. It's altering. It's changing. It's encouraging. It's inspiring. It's uplifting. But left to itself, it accomplishes nothing. My text comes, of course, from Hebrews 4. Four and 12 says, for the word of God is quick. And I don't think that means that it little fast motions. It's alive. It's alive. You know what that means? It isn't dead and unperforming. It's animated. It's animated in the soul. It's animated in the heart. It doesn't just go there and stop. That's what something dead would just be where it's at. The word of God's not dead. Once it's put there, it begins to animate. It works. It goes. It does something. It's quick. The word of God's quick. It says, and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, to me, if you let me use my idea of what a two-edged sword must mean, to me is it cuts going and coming. It's efficient. It's efficient. I use objects a lot. I use tools. I use knives. I use chainsaws. And when they get dull, I'm going to tell you, to me, a dull object is a perfect analogy for people trying to live their own life. Because you thump around, you beat around, you wear yourself out in the course of a day, you've accomplished very little to nothing, and it's not done right then, the cuts are bad. I can take my chainsaw good and sharp and I can do a day's work and accomplish ricks of wood and cut down trees and all that, but if I get that thing in the rocks and get it dull, you can't stand the log up to split it. Because it won't stand. It's got an arch on it and it wants to fall in. You can't cut it straight. Work becomes cumbersome and hard. But it says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This has got the ability to perform. It does something. Folks, if we would allow the word of God, really take it in and say, I'm going to live my life. Jesus in his answer to the devil said that man don't live by bread alone. But he gave the greater emphasis every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the sustaining ability, the ability to accomplish, the ability to do what the Lord would have you to do is wrapped up solely in the word of God. What power that it has for our life to accomplish. It's like a two-edged sword, swing one way and swing the other. What efficiency. Now at home where I grew up, they called it the log wood chopping contest. And they called it the hot saw competition. Now notice something about this. The whole competition was about, they would have their hopped up chainsaw setting down on the ground. And they wasn't running. And they had to have their hands up on the log. And when they said go, then they had to start the chainsaw and cut three cuts. And if you can't do it in less 5-6 seconds, well, you ain't even in the competition. That's fast. And that thing's got the saw. Or it's got the start. That thing's got to start on a pull about that long. It's got to start. And then instead of going up and cutting down, that's a wasted motion. So when they started, they saw up through the log immediately, up and down and up, because that's the fastest motion that you can do. It's coming and going. That thing is sharp and it's powerful and it does the work going either direction, any way you put it. It is true. It's right. It cuts. It accomplishes. Do you know that the Word of God today placed in our hearts, if we've got a situation that we don't know how to handle, I've got a disposition that I don't know how to handle, I'm going to tell you, there's a Word of God for that thing, and it'll cut going one way or the other. It'll take care of that situation. I can get an attitude. You know, attitudes can be taken care of by something that's quick and powerful. But when we try to start taking care of these problems by ourselves, they become dead and feeble. We become dead and feeble congregations. We become dead and feeble individuals. We're dead and feeble. We don't accomplish. And yet, right? Oh, how many times? I don't know about you, but when I listen to the news, you know, a lot of times I'm comparing the news with the Word of God. I'm saying, somebody will say, and the answer to this problem is we feel like, and I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. I got a scripture for that. The Lord already gave us the answer for that problem, and that's not it. This is the answer. But it's got to be applied. Lord, help us to apply it to the situation. And if you say, well, I don't exactly know what it is, the Lord knows what it is. You know, by seeking the Lord will give us the very Word of God that touches the situation that's there. There's deliverance, there's help. That it's sharp, it's powerful, it says. Listen, this isn't something that just swats around on the effects of things. The Word of God isn't just something that takes care of symptoms. It isn't a symptom thing. It isn't just saying, well, if there's something here, we're just going to take care of that symptom. At home, my dad would cut down locust trees. When you cut down them locust trees, there'd be 50 or 100 of them spring up in the yard. Because you've done took the top out and the roots are still there saying, I'm going to grow. And so it sprouts up all over the place. And he used to mention, well, you just better to let the tree grow because you're going to have 100 of them if you don't. No, there's another solution. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. The Word of God is sharp and powerful, and it isn't just a clip off the leaves of the tree. It wants to get right down to it. It wants to fix it once and for all. It wants to go down and do what nothing else, it's not possible for anything else to do it. Folks, we have things just because of who we are, makeup, where I was grown up, how I was raised, all those things. I have certain things about me that I can't even tell you why I am like I am. And the Lord don't want me to go for 50 years not having victory over that. And the Word of God is quick and powerful. If applied and used, it's quick and powerful. Listen, to the piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's getting way down in there. And of the joints and marrow. Marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, not only to understand, to deal with. You know, one of my greatest witnesses to my heart is the proof of God is the accuracy of His words to me. And now it knows me and deals with me. The discerner of the thoughts. Yeah, it knows what you thought, but you know it goes deeper than the thoughts that you have. How would you like for somebody in here to be able to discern all your thoughts? Well, let's take it one step deeper as the scripture goes. It's not only to know the thoughts, but it knows why you think them. What's the intent of them? What are you trying to develop from it? How's it trying to work in your life? Why are you doing all those things? And the Word of God is a discerner of those things. Now, if it doesn't reveal it, take care of it, do it, what's the reason to discern it? Is it just brag about it? Is that what its word is bragging because it knows it? No. It's saying that it can do something about it. That it can alter it. It can change it. It can make bad thoughts good thoughts. It can make the things that you don't understand why those thoughts are coming out can make and change and order them to be good and precious and holy and right and loving thoughts. Because it's a changer. And it gets down in there and it deals with it. And I found out something about God. God most never has just changed me in spite of myself. He reveals myself to me. Then challenges me to change it through His power and through His grace. I am so thankful today for the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of it. I know the world looks at it as a fanatical way. It's old. It's an ancient thing. People have done it and this and it done all those things. But it's just as it's always been to those that will apply it to their lives. It's powerful. All right. Lord, help us. Well, let's start with. Matthew, the 18th chapter. I've got a saying that I kind of had in my repertoire for a while. When somebody says it about the Word of God, I'll say something and they'll say, that ain't what it means. I'll say, well, it means something. Now, you got to deal with the something, folks. I was in a situation one time where I had a guy gritting his teeth. I've told this many times. He had a gun stuck to my head and his knuckles was white. And he was saying, I'm going to blow your head off with all the words that go along with it. And he was going to do that. And I took a course of action. I humbled myself. Amen. I followed to the best of my understanding what the Lord said to do. I had brothers say to me, to my face, you done the wrong thing. That's not what you're supposed to do. Then I'll have to say of the scriptures then, turn the other cheek, those kind of scriptures, then you tell me what they mean. They mean something. They mean something. I come out of that situation not harmed. I did not kill the guy. I did not harm him. I did not hurt him. I come out of there unharmed. He didn't have the power or strength to even move me out of my seat. Because God stepped in for me. And yet I had some that would say, you've done the wrong thing by the way you reacted. You should have done this. You should have defended yourself. You have the right to do this. I've had people look right at me and tell me that. I got to say if it's got to mean something, folks. And I want to know what it means because it's precious to me. It is life to me. It is quick and it is powerful. And the ultimate for everybody is in the Word of God. We have to understand this today. We want to apply what makes sense to us. And when we do, we dilute. We dilute the quick and make it a little more dead. We dilute the powerful and make it less powerful. We dilute it to its strength. When we start attaching, we want to put our attachments. I know the Lord said that, but He must mean something else. So I'm going to add a little bit into that to what makes sense what the Lord must mean with that. Maybe He just meant that. And meant that He's God when He said it. And that if you're a child and are willing to go to that kind of depths and trust in Him, that He would never forsake you. I'll be your God if you'll be my people. Do you know Israel got to thinking the same thing? God said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. When it comes to fighting battles, you stand back. Because you've got a God to fight battles. Okay, that sounds real good for a little while. But then here's an army that's got all their big chariots and all these things. And then what do they say? We better go get some help. And I know they had these kind of human arguments. I know they did because they were human. And somebody must have stood up and said, well, that ain't what the Lord said. Well, yeah, we know, but the Lord don't say everything. And what He meant was, you can trust Him to to work on the Egyptians' hearts that they'd help you. It isn't a matter of simply saying, God's going to be my God. It's simply saying, God's in all kinds of places. And He is, folks. And I know that this thing can be balanced by the idea that we got to rightly divide the word. But if we ain't careful, we dilute it down. And God really intended to teach us trust and confidence and build us up as a people. And we're going to all everything else. And diluting it down to not even meaningful anymore. It doesn't really have what it should be in my own heart that this is what I live by. And when the troubles of my life comes, what am I going to insert? Human thinking? Learnings? All those? No, I'm going to insert the Word of God. Simply trust the Lord that the best outcome possible is in the Word of God. It's what He said to do. Over and over, Israel failed when there was simple, easy to understand commandments. Easy, the Word of God simply. He wasn't trashing them. You know, He told them in one place simply not to take the other nation's daughters and not to give their daughters to them. Do you know that's not hard to understand? But it was really hard to enact upon. Once they was living among them, so they started doing that and the Word of God become diluted until they had exceptions to all these things. Some of it was so simple. And why? He wanted to avoid in their lives heartaches and troubles and the place that He had to destroy them Himself. And it was simply done by the Word of God, quick and powerful. Ready to insert. We have the volume of it, folks. We live in a generation that we have the volume. Not everybody. We have it. And oh, what precious words. A way. Folks, this is a way of life. It's a way of life inserting. You know, so, I mean, it's not that. Lord, help us if we'd only be willing to do it. It's not that complicated. To stand before the Lord and say, what should I do? What should I put before my eyes? You know, it tells you what you should think on. Well, you should think on your worries and your troubles, and you should try to figure them all out and do all those things. I read a thing where a woman was just worried. She was a worrier and worrier, and finally she had her doctor, and her doctor said, you just worry too much, and said, they done a thing and said that that 80% of what you worry about don't come true. And she said, see, it works. That's proof. She worried about them and 80% of them didn't come true. The Lord don't want us thinking about that stuff. And He gives us the Word of God. And tells us, you know, there's things that the Lord says is mine and you don't need to think about them. I'll think about them for you. You do my will and follow me and do what I'm supposed to do and quit worrying about what the country's going to do, what the nation's going to do, what this is going to do, what that's going to do. I've already told you it's in my hands. Be servants of God. Thank God for the Word of God today. But it's meaningless if I don't apply it. I've got to have the application of it. All right, in Matthew. Let's see, Matthew 18, I think's what I'm looking for. Moreover, this is, by the way, the Word of God. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Do you think that's possible? It sure is. And it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, it tells you what to do. Now, before we go on with that, don't read it. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get me an alliance here. Got somebody against me. I need so many people on my side. So I've been hurt. I'm going to tell everybody how hurt I am. And how wrong this guy was, brother, sister, for doing what they done. Now, am I making sense here to anybody? Do we have a way of diluting? He tells us what to do here. Now, I recently had a situation where someone was in a place like this, and so they let the thing fester for quite a long while, and then they quit. They quit us. Just quit. So I called a person very close and said, what about this? And you know what this brother said to me? He said, I don't know why they just didn't do what the scripture said. And that might have been a good idea. Let it fast for a month. Think about it a lot. Think about how righteous you are in what you're about to do, and then you do it. But that's not what the scripture said. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I know that's hard to do. If you can't do that, I think leave it alone. If the trespass don't hurt you, it don't hurt you. But the word says if he trespasses you, it's moved you, something's got, go to him. Talk, communicate. I think those things, of course, that's given in here, we don't use the flesh for anything. You can't use the word with the flesh. It don't work that way. But in the sincerity of righteous, in sincerity of God, in sincerity of better things, in the sincerity of things, it's not only for your own soul and getting peace, but it's for the soul of the brother that's trespassed. He's in danger. You've got to tell him you've trespassed. It ain't right between me and you. Is that okay? It's more than okay, folks. It's the word of God. It is the prescription for health in the church. It's the prescription of health and family. It's the prescription. God did it. Marty didn't do it. If Marty had done it, throw it away. If man had done it, it would have made dead and feeble. When God done it, it's quick and powerful, and it will accomplish everything that can be accomplished, will be accomplished. And everything that won't have to be. See, understand, it's the word of God. How should we live for this? By the word of God. It gets tough sometimes. I went with Brother James one time to his prison ministry, and I got there, and I didn't take my wallet, and you have to have ID. I had forgot my wallet. Well, when I went to do it, you don't have ID, and it was like, well, the old guy, what is this, old senator, a state senator or something, he must have been a fairly powerful individual. He looked at me and said, you didn't bring your ID? No, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't. He said, well, did you bring your Bible? Yeah, I brought my Bible. He took my Bible and went over there and went to that counter and went, there's his credentials. They kind of, all right, you can go in. Right here it is. I know what he was saying. It's the word of God that's going to get him in here. No, and he didn't even back up with it. Okay, quick and powerful. Well, I think he had some authority in there. I don't know how they'd have recognized by it. But it's powerful, folks. It gets us places. It moves it. It'll move things. It's the word of God. Do you know what the world needs to hear? They don't need to hear my opinion. They don't need to hear our opinions. They need to hear the word of God. It's quick and powerful. It'll bring conviction to hearts. And it's not us. It's the word of God that does those things. It'll work in people's lives. You get people going away and you're looking and you're saying, I've struggled with this. I said, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what are we to do to preserve? We're slipping, we're sliding. What can we do? And the Lord said, it's quick and powerful. Preach the word. Ministers, preach the word. Preach the word. Straight and plain, preach the word. It's the power of salvation. I'm going to tell you, this is what we've got to preserve us in our generation. The word of God. But you know what? It won't do you any good if you don't apply it to your life. If you don't allow it to do it, it won't do it. But allowed to do it, it'll make a saint out of a sinner. It'll make you do right when the obvious would be do wrong. It'll give you power to do things that's inhuman. It's the word of God. It's capable of making that kind of convictions in life, in heart. It isn't just something that's out there. I'm going to tell you, the word spoken. Jesus said it. Man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knew the value of those words spoken. It run the devil off. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you something. You got to live the life. We know that. Got to have the word really in there. There's no facades, no fakes. The devil knows a fake. But he's about aggravating you. Give him some quick and powerful. Amen. He loves dead. He loves dead stuff. Give him some life. Give him something to work. Give him some scriptures. Amen. He'll leave on them scriptures. All right, we'll look at another one. All right, over in Romans, the Word of God, 16 and 17. Listen to what the apostle told the church at Rome. Now I beseech you, brethren, I know we don't like this. Depends on who you're going to mark, but it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now I know that if I hadn't said that with scripture under the context right now, and I'd have said, told you to just avoid somebody, you would have said, Brother Marty, you're way off. Folks, we make dead and feeble situations in our midst that the very best for the offender, the very best for the people involved, is the quick and powerful Word of God. It said to mark them. Somebody that is causing trouble. This was instituted for the church. And for somebody that's causing trouble and will not listen, will not come under it, people that are easy entreated, somebody that really wants the truth can be in error. But they humble themselves. They're fearful of losing it. They want to be a part of the body. They will do that. And this said, mark them. You know what that means? In the mind, intentionally follow. That one's a troublemaker. Hey, this ain't Marty's words. I'd really be in trouble to say this. This is the Word of God, the way to handle situations. And what do we do? Well, we can't do that because they got family. Their family's best chance is the Word of God. Quick and powerful. Their best chances, our best chance of survival is the Word of God. Amen. We're not to be fanatic. This is not with the flesh. It isn't because I have a grudge against you from years back. It's because it's the Word of God. And He gave us this to run congregations, run people. In the humility we go and say, this is where you're at. Not because it's me, it's because it's the Word of God. Avoid them. And I'm going to tell you what avoid means. It means if you're walking down the street and someone's coming, you walk this way. I didn't make this up. Don't entertain it. Don't give it credibility. Don't show the world you're friendly with it. It's the Word of God. And it's a reason for it. It suggests to them their own failures, their own faults. It doesn't give them credibility. They need that if they're in error, folks. Do you know the best chance they have for eternal salvation is for the Word of God to be enacted? And we will make it feeble by our own notions. Nah, that can't do. They got family. And if we do that, we're going to offend the whole bunch. And all these people's lined up with it. And if we don't, if we do the Word of God, it won't what? Work? It's what He said. At the end of everything will be the very top that it can be because we've trusted God with it, not ourselves. This is what the Word says. Avoid them. I find it tough. I find it a tough place. The world is so critical of intolerance. It's so intolerant. You're just not a saint. You're just so bad. And all these things that come flooding in from that. But Lord, help us to value the Word of God and to understand it and rightly divide it. And none of these kind of actions should be taken lightly, but very prayerfully, fasting and praying. But it still says what it says. Lord, help us. Are we going to be preserved? Or are we going to let it all come in? Are we going to let anything goes? Or somewhere are we going to stand and say, that's marked. That's marked. I'm not talking about 15, 20, 30 years of agitation. The Word of God has already talked to it. We need to Apply the Word of God. Over in Titus. Three and ten. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Is that a part of church feelings? Is that supposed to be a part of church that somebody can actually be by the whole rejected? It's the Word of God. And why is it? Because God has a way of preserving, and He knows what He's doing. That rejection, may that be that person's only salvation. We can't, of our own feelings, deny it. This is the prescriptions. This is just a little category, okay, of a grand picture of scriptural understandings that we're to apply to our lives to live life by. If a brother fall, can anybody tell me what's supposed to happen? They which are spirit. Now who judges that? This is complicated because most people that's unspiritual are the ones that think they are. But this actually is giving a gravity to it. It's putting weight to it. Are you the one that's going to stand up and say, I'm spiritual? Boy, I'm going to tell you, you'll tell the Lord that. But they that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. There's a way to do it. When somebody's had a failure, a fault, it is brought out, there is a way to do that. There is somebody that's humble, meek, that's been in the way. And I dare to say, fail in the past is okay. There's been able to get something to say, to offer, that goes to restore such a one. Will they be restored? It's their ultimate chance. Ridicule isn't their best chance. Ignoring it, folks, is not the best chance. The best chance, we say, well, we can't really approach them with this because they have so much family in my congregation. You're hurting your family. You're hurting their family. It needs to be dealt with unless it's accepted as an okay. It's not okay. Restore in the spirit of meekness. Why? Could be me. I'm the same fragile human being. I need help from the Lord. Let's approach it that way. Beautiful words spoken that we say, that's right. Somebody better do it. Or somebody might need to do it. And years later, never been done. It's the Word of God. All right, we'll look at another scripture. Over in Jeremiah. Quick and powerful. It says in the 29th verse of the 23rd chapter of Isaiah, is not my word like a fire? See, a fire's got life, don't it? A fire burns as long as when fire quits burning when it quits consuming. As long as fire is burning, it's consuming something. Burning it up. Is not my word consuming? Is not my word got the ability to burn up everything unlike God? Isn't my word powerful enough to do it? Isn't my word placed in the right place, profitable? Can it take out what needs to be took out? Sure it can. It's quick. It's alive. Fire burns. It's alive. It's powerful to destroy. We need that destroying element. To destroy self, selfishness. To destroy the things that the world trying to bring in our midst. To destroy that, the Word of God. Purity. Purity of heart and mind. I know the world religions don't teach it, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. You know the Word of God says that we should be holy because He is holy. Brother Clifford Wilson said the definition of the word holy there was the sum of the whole total, the sum of all righteous things totaled up. And at the line, when you draw the line and add it all up, holiness means the whole thing added up in the column and wrote down, and it's holy in all actions. And we're to be holy because He was holy. And that's not my word. That's God's word that we can proclaim and preach from the rooftop. You want to live for God? It's a holy way. See? And now how are you going to get that way? You're going to buy words of fire that burns up all the other elements. If applied, yes, Lord, give me your word. Help me to speak right, act right, look right. We live in a time of much entertainments, and it's easy. We heard Brother Tony talk about it. He was right. That was the word of God. Don't put that stuff before your eyes. You're going to be condemned by it. It's the word of God. Lord, help us. Is not my word like a hammer? I got some hammers at the house. I got one in my toolbox out in the truck or in the van. It ain't a pound of nothing. It's just laying out there. You're going to have a hammer. Our idea of this thing is a hammer has to be swung. My word like a hammer, Jeremiah? You better get a hold of the handle. I want you to start swinging the hammer. Can it not bust in pieces? Can it not break up the stone? Sure it can. But not land. Well, thank God for the word of God. Brother, start swinging the hammer. Then you'll start seeing the realities of it around your life. Blessings. I've told this story many times. What impressed me as a young boy, I was probably first or second grade maybe. Behind my house, when the old guy that built the house, he, back then there wasn't much equipment around. He didn't have equipment to move large things. So he by hand had leveled off an area in the bank, and there was a large sandstone boulder there. He had no way of moving it. So instead of moving it, he just built the house beside it. The boulder's there and the house is beside it. Well, after my dad got the house, he didn't like that rock being there by the house. And there was no way you couldn't dynamite set by the house. You couldn't dynamite it, blow it, no way to get equipment to it. So my dad went and got him a hammer. And he went out there and he'd stand on that hammer and ping, ping, and swing that hammer, ping, ping. Big, big boulder. Hard boulder. Ping, ping. And he said that a lot of the strokes was nothing but a little bit of smoke and fire come off of it. Nothing give. And he had swing and swing until he'd hear the crack. A little crack. Piece had come off. Every day I'd come home from school, we'd have to fill up so many 5-gallon buckets full of just broken up rocks. Just little slivers of rocks we'd put in there. Sometimes bigger, little. And you know, my dad kept a swinging that hammer every day, swinging that hammer until he was able to build a patio back here. Got rid of that big boulder simply by swinging that hammer. And there's an illustration here. Is my word not like a hammer? It don't come in and just break it maybe all at once, but it works. It works. It keeps going and it accomplishes what it's meant to accomplish. You know, one place he said his word going out wouldn't come back to him void. It's not going to be empty, folks. This word, you may not want to give account to it, but you're going to have to give an account for the word of God. Is my word not like a hammer that I've given to you to break up the things in your life? I've given it to you as a tool. I notice when I swing a big hammer for very long, it roughens my hands up. It hurts my hands. Enough to make you quit. I grew up after my dad done that from a little boy. I grew up. Got old enough to get me a car, and the way our house was, it was... When the time I got a car, there were several other cars, and I'd go up and park, and somebody parked behind me, and I couldn't get out. And I didn't like that, so I decided I was going to put me a little drive in beside the house on this side of the drive, and everybody parked, and I could pull up there, and then I could just pull out any time I wanted. So I got the idea I was going to make me a nice little drive up in on that side, and I got out there and started digging, and I run into a little, about this big around, a rock. I couldn't get it out, pry it out or anything, and I remembered my dad tackled a big one with a hammer. So I went and got my dad's hammer. Went over there and got on that rock and started pounding. It was kind of had some edges on it, and I hit it and an edge come off. That felt good. I'm getting somewhere. After all the easy things was on there, I started ping, ping, nothing happening, ping, ping. I could not get that thing. And I said, that must be a harder stone than that other one. It must be different. Some way different. I tried all these things. Tried to pound it. Couldn't do it. I'd give it up. Come back. Try it again. Do it. And finally, I gave up on it. I left an eyesore there. A big rock sticking there. Come home from work one day. One day. Just come home from work one day. And it was gone. And I thought, well, that's out of the way. I went to my dad and said, yeah, would you move that rock out of there? Yeah. And I said, would you pull it out? What are you doing? No. He said, I went and got my hammer. I got my hammer and worked on it. Folks, there's as much in it as you want. There's as much work. Yeah, the Word of God is good to a certain point, but you know, it's not very practical some ways. Now, I know I've been around long enough to know that if you start applying some of the things I just read, that's going to be bad stuff. I know that, so I better add a little Marty in here. Experience, you know what I'm saying. We've all lived long enough to know that we ought to do something different, right? How successful have we been with this stuff? And you know what, you that know what I'm talking about. How successful have we been? We haven't been. So let's look at something very seriously here. The Word of God is quick and powerful. If we would use it in its proper place and time, in faith in God, with the Word of God, we would be so much better off. We'll preserve our lives. We'll preserve ourselves. Oh, the Word. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Let me get you another scripture real quick over in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. I like the poetry of this verse. 40 and 8. Seventh verse says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know what? You think of the multitudes of people that's went before us. They've had opinions. They've made systems of life. They've made cultures. They've set up communities. They set up nations. They showed how to run this one, and it's failed. The old Roman Empire, it's gone too. All of the things that people have created and done and said, this is euphoria. This is the best life you can have. This is the way to do it. All of those things, they've evaporated away in time. The great nation called the United States that's been here some over 200 years, that's prospered and the Lord's blessed it, I think, and all those things fadeth away. But the word of our God, I'm going to tell you, that's where I'm at today. I've pondered it, I've looked at it. Here's where I'm at today. Give me your word, Lord. Help me to love, as David did, your word. Help me not only to love it in its flowery statements, but help me to love it in its content. To place it in my life and say yes, even when it's hard. Now, Brother Marty, now it's your own family, your own kin, or your own child, and they come to a place like this. The word of God standeth forever. My child's only hope is the same only hope I have. Is God. So I'm not going to give up on it. It's the word of God. Lord, help us today. I hope the Lord helps to take this for whatever it is or isn't to you. But it takes it. It gives you a deeper mind to say, Lord, let me know what it is. And help me to apply it deeply. In my life, that this is the rule of my faith, that I will take this and accept it into my life and go by its suggestions and comments, and I will place it in my life for the betterment of my own life and for my eternal destiny. I believe it's right there in the Word of God, standing forever. You pray for me.